This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. One of the biggest international news stories of the past year and a half is the story of sweeping reform across the Middle East, what many have dubbed, quote, the Arab Spring. Protests against authoritative rule are taking place in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Syria, Bahrain, Yemen, and beyond. And women are joining men on the front lines. So far, a number of dictators have fallen, and governments are in transition. But what effect will this have on the rights of women in these countries? Today we speak with Minky Warden, director of media at Human Rights Watch, and contributing writer and editor of the new book, The Unfinished Revolution, Voices from the Global Fight for Women's Rights. The book is a series of essays from prominent writers and activists from around the world and looks at the history of the women's rights movement in the context of the current revolutions occurring across the Arab world and the role of women themselves as agents of change. Minky, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, delighted to be here.
So tell me why Human Rights Watch chose to release this book now.
Well, Human Rights Watch decided to publish the book because it's the 20th anniversary of the Women's Rights Division of Human Rights Watch, but more importantly because it's one of those critical moments where you have a period of major political transitions in the Middle East and North Africa, decades-long dictatorships swept aside by popular protests, but with that comes the need to write new constitutions, and many of the countries, Egypt, Tunisia, Libya especially, there has not been a long history of women's political participation, or necessarily of protections for women's rights. So, I think we think it's a very important moment to draw attention to the need to protect rights for women and girls in the context of political transitions, but also to more broadly look at where we are in relation to women's rights in the world.
So we've seen a lot of images in the media of women on the front lines of protests in the Arab world, but I think the first time we really saw them showing up in full force were those images that came out of Iran during the 2009 presidential election.
Yeah, it's a terrific insight. And the story of the revolution in Iran, the original revolution in 1979, and the more recent uprisings in 2009, the popular uprisings, I think Iran plays the role in the book of something of a cautionary tale, because you have, on the one hand, Shirin Ebadi's story of supporting the revolution, and yet among the first things that happened was that she was demoted and made a secretary in the court that she had once presided over, and eventually was unable to continue her law practice in the country. When you look at, I think, one of the earliest signals that of popular disgust with repressive rule was the Iranian uprising in 2009. That is an uprising that ended in further repression. And it's interesting to see that the more successful uprisings in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Libya, and demonstrations in Bahrain, in Yemen, and other places, the common element of ordinary citizens protesting with women on the front lines, it's really the Iranian Revolution was the first time that you really saw women on the front lines along with men carrying placards. They were reporting, tweeting, taking their children to the protests, and they were among the highest profile victims as well. In the killings of the civilians by military or militias. So I think the story of Iran is a cautionary tale for women's rights. The Unfinished Revolution is the title of the book, but you could very easily say that the Unfinished Revolution refers to the situation in Iran today. That refers to both the need to expand rights for women and girls in the country, There's a wonderful essay by Susan Tomasebi that looks at the Million Signatures campaign and the rise of civil society in Iran. One of the elements for a successful political transition, as we have seen in Tunisia or in Egypt, is a robust civil society. And that's one of the things that has always marked Iran, is a highly educated population, a robust civil society, and women on the front lines of civil society.
So if the story of Iran is a cautionary tale, what are some solutions proposed in the book? How can the world act in a way to make sure this doesn't happen again in places like Tunisia and Egypt and Libya?
The answer to that really is in the chapter that follows by Susan Tomasebi, where she looks at civil society in the region. She is Iranian herself, but she's also in regular contact with civil society and women's rights leaders in Tunisia and Egypt and other countries in the Middle East and North Africa. And I think that the first thing is to recognize that this is a moment when space could close instead of opening. And you have to identify that, then you really have an obligation to understand and work with the women in the region. And I was fortunate to interview a number of women's rights activists and human rights activists in Egypt around this time last year. And they have been, many of them, at work for 2 to 3 decades documenting human rights abuses, fighting for women's rights. So you're talking in most cases about women and men who have a lot of experience in the local context for how to get things done, for how to monitor a trial, for how to report on a human rights abuse, for how to lobby a government official or a military official. So I think in each one of the countries that we've talked about is a little bit different, but where you already have a rich set of civil society leaders and activists, you're simply going to have a better chance of preserving rights and freedoms for women and, for example, even expanding them.
Minky, you mentioned this briefly earlier, and Shirin Ebadi also mentioned this in her chapter, that Iranian law ascribes to women a value half to that of a man. Can you elaborate on that?
One of the reasons that we decided to do this book was that I did an interview with Shirin Ebadi where she talked about her life, her work, and the challenges that she had faced as a human rights activist and a women's rights activist. And when she writes in her chapter that a woman has a value literally of half of that of a man. So, for example, if a man and a woman are both injured in an accident, the compensation that is paid to the woman for the exact same injury is half the amount paid to the man. The testimony of 2 women in court equals the testimony of 1 man. And if a woman kills a man and the man's family doesn't forgive her, she will be executed. But if a man kills a woman, it's different. And the woman's family would have to pay half of his blood money, since executing a man is executing a full human being as opposed to half a human being. Important point that Shirin Ebadi makes is that these aren't laws that have their basis in Islam. It's not something that can be found in the Quran. This is all a matter of fundamentalist interpretation. So the solution that she comes to is that in the long term, violence and oppression of women do not work. And that it is the type of thing that leads directly to a revolution. One of the things that she says in her chapter is, you know, for each woman who is jailed, another will take her ranks and take her place and swell the ranks of the women's movement. So I think that Shirin Ebadi has a call to action to support both women's rights, but also political change and reform.
That's interesting. The idea that for each woman jailed, another will take her ranks in the women's movement. So on that note, I want to talk about the imprisoned human rights lawyer Nasreen Sotoudeh.
One of the cases that illustrates the challenges for women's rights in Iran, but also human rights more broadly speaking, is the case of Nasreen Sotoudeh. You know, she's one of Iran's best known human rights lawyers. a women's rights defender and the mother of two children. She's a name that everyone who is concerned about human rights in Iran should know. She has been given more than a decade in prison on charges of, quote, endangering national security. And this is really a very blatant attempt to intimidate human rights lawyers and to silence the human rights and the women's rights community. So that is a her case, like Shirin Ebadi's, is a cautionary tale. The bravest and most determined human rights and women's rights activists in Iran are being silenced.
That was Minky Warden, director of media at Human Rights Watch and contributing writer and editor of the new book, The Unfinished Revolution, Voices from the Global Fight for Women's Rights. For more on the work of Human Rights Watch, visit hrw.org. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening.